Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm Alistair Beckett King.
And I'm James Shakeshaft.
And this episode was live streamed at the end of August 2020.
Normally we'd be spending August up in Edinburgh at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
At the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Edinburgh Fringe Festival. But we couldn't because of pesky COVID-19.
So we decided to bring Edinburgh to us. Not literally.
No, we haven't got that many spades.
But we did manage to bring you a deputy law person and Edinburgh native, Eleanor Morton. Enjoy!
Hello. How are you folks?
Are you speaking to me and Eleanor? Are you speaking to the people of the chat, James?
I was speaking to the people of the chat, and then I forgot that I couldn't hear them. And I sort of cocked my ear to listen, as though I might hear it over the rooftops.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the ear cock. Yeah, I regret that phrase.
Yes.
Normally we like to secretively introduce our deputy law people, but the secret is out. It's Eleanor. It's Eleanor Morton.
Hey.
Hello, Eleanor.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hiya.
How's it going?
Who I referred to when we were promoting this as my hair doppelganger. I think you and I have probably both had the experience of scrolling past each other's promotional comedy photographs and thinking, I don't remember having that picture taken.
Constantly.
I'm looking great in this picture. That's what I think. Perhaps it's you're looking at it going, I don't remember being that weathered.
Yeah, that's definitely what I think. I always think, how did my hair get so luxuriant? Or is that a picture of my sister? Or is that a picture of my mum? And it's never, it's always you, so.
The curse. I just look like all white men comedians. So whenever I see anyone's promotional material, I'd like, I don't remember still gigging.
Having red hair is like being white extra.
To the max.
White, but with a bit of spice. Bit more interesting.
I look forward to, when I start to get grey in my beard, I'm going to refer to it, you know, people say salt and pepper. I'm going to say salt and paprika.
Oh, lovely.
That's nice.
I think it's going to be quite annoying after a while. I'm not going to stop doing it. We've got some responses to James's question of how is everyone in the chat, and they are well. It is apparently 100 degrees in America, which sounds unreasonable, but you know what they're like over there.
They're hot.
They go large.
That's 38 degrees centigrade, which is still...
That's disgusting. I don't like that, and I never will.
and there's some support for salt and paprika, so I was vindicated. That is a good phrase.
We've received some emails from people.
Have we?
And a great one from Emily O'Shea. I think we've spoken to her before.
We have, yes.
She has a child, and that child has a double crown.
I've got a double crown.
Do you? Because... She's moved to near Chipping Norton, which is my hometown. Round these parts, apparently, I didn't know this, they say, double crown, never drown.
Well.
So, Eleanor, have you drowned?
I did fall in a well as a child, but I'm still alive, so...
What? Were you, like, on the news?
No, it was just in someone's garden, and it wasn't like a fairy book well with a nice little roof and a bucket. It was sort of just a square of water on the ground. So I sort of fell in like a watery hole, but it was technically a well.
You're like the hyacinth bouquet of nearly drowning. Like, it's technically a well! Mr. J. Hardacre is asking, how old / rich is Eleanor that she grew up well adjacent?
Oh, yeah. No, this is a family friend's garden somewhere in England.
A posh English well, even more sophisticated.
It was a nice garden, though. It was a very nice garden. And I got some chocolate afterwards for, nearly dying. So pretty good day all round.
Do you remember what sort of chocolate, or was it just generic?
Yeah, I do, because it was, this is really sad that I remember that. It was, Celebrations mini Snickers, which I wasn't actually even that fond of, but we didn't really get sweets at home. Not in a tragic way, they're just, my parents are very healthy.
It sounds like you only got sweets in tragic situations, like near drownings. They saved the celebrations for not dying.
It seems completely inappropriate, although TK2000 has suggested Wellabrations, which is
Wellabrations,
pretty good.
Nice, yes.
Lovely stuff.
I like to think I peaked at that moment. So.
You mentioned that happened in England because you are a sort of stealth Scottish person. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'm from Edinburgh.
Look at her. That's not stealth.
I always have to put a disclaimer on this. My parents are all Scottish. My parents were brought up in England, but I was brought up in Scotland. So none of my family are English, but I got this accent. People took the piss out of at school. So there's no upsides, really.
It's like listening into a Scottish girl mirror of my experience of growing up as well. You can't talk like this and wear a waistcoat without people making assumptions about you.
Did you wear waistcoats as a teen, Alistair, or what was the point?
What was the point?
My first experience of wearing a waistcoat was in Scotland, actually.
Of course, yeah.
In Argyll at a family wedding. I was put in a pair of green denim jeans, green, and a green waistcoat, and I looked like a tiny magician. And I loved it so much that I have recreated that look for every comedy publicity still.
If it ain't broke.
It sounds, if you had a green denim trousers and a green denim top, it sounds like you would look like you're wearing green dungarees. So you look like a tiny mechanic.
I looked like a little member of the fairy folk. It was adorable.
Did you fix people's shoes?
My mum told me I could only wear, there was redheads can only wear like four colours. Light green, dark green, khaki, and a sort of brown. So for my whole teenage years, that's the only colour palette. Sort of camouflage colours.
Yeah, that's the same colour palette as the British Army, isn't it?
Yeah. To hide away from people. James, you look like you're in a evidence locker in the local police station. What is it?
It's my shed.
Where are you?
I'm in my shed.
Ah, okay.
We could pivot to true crime. That's way more lucrative than folklore. Let's just pivot. You got a couple of fingers in there, some DNA samples.
Yeah, I'm in my shed. Standard shed accoutrements.
Have you got a story for me, James?
Yes. And I've got some Edinburgh stories, Edinburgh stuff.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am ready, yeah.
For the story of Major Weir.
Yes.
He puts the Major Weir into Majorly Weird Story.
Very good.
Thank you. Yeah, this is a little description of him. So he lived in the 17th century. I'm very envious of people that just know whether to say what century.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like 17th century, as in referring to the 1600s.
1600, yeah.
I mean, I edit the podcast, James, so I know that you say it wrong every time, and I edit it out so that you say it correctly every time. So I'm well aware that you have this issue.
That's why you got me to count that time into the microphone to 2000. So this is from the description of him of the time. His garb was still a cloak and somewhat dark, and he never went without his staff. He was a tall black man and ordinarily looked down to the ground, a grim countenance and a big nose.
Oh, okay, rude.
Just a little burn at the end about his big nose. So his cloak was of old fashion, apparently, for the time. And his staff had a little carving of a human head at the top.
We've all got one of those in Edinburgh. We've all got one of those.
Yeah, but that's all Harry Potter-based stuff now, isn't it?
Oh, don't you get me started on the impact of Harry Potter tourism on Edinburgh, because I will.
Eleanor, are you a huge fan of the impact of Harry Potter on tourism in Edinburgh?
No, Alistair, no. Anywho, yeah, I'm good.
No, this guy was a very devout man. He was a soldier, and he lived on the West Bow in Edinburgh. Which is that, if you know Edinburgh from Edinburgh festivals, which I do, it's from Grassmarket up to the Royal Mile. It's that sort of windy road.
Victoria Place, yeah.
Oh, Victoria Place, yeah, the curving road near Espionage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if you haven't been to Edinburgh, you might have seen it on Instagram, because it's a very Instagrammable, charming little street full of little shops and things.
Yeah. I think there's only three Harry Potter shops on that street, so it's actually...
Well, you know, the council have made it now. You have to have minimum three Harry Potter shops on every street, so...
Also, James, I like the way you think that those streets are only called Grassmarket and the Royal Mile during the Fringe when London folk come up. And at other times, locals just have to point.
Fair dues.
It doesn't exist out with the Fringe. It's just... we all just sort of stand on a field. But we were on the West Bow.
Yes. That's where he lived with his sister, Jean... Or Grizel.
So is Grizel a nickname, or do they not know?
Is that a rap name, maybe? Sounds like a Wu-Tang Clan member's name. The Grizel.
Grizel sounds like either a new dating app or a new, some kind of app for finding authentically made...
Meat?
Meat, yeah.
Or like bearded men. Like if it's Grizl.
Oh, grizzled, yes.
Oh, yeah, like a bear map.
Yeah, I can see it.
Trademarking that.
So in 1649, this guy, Major Weir, was the commander of the city guard. He oversaw the execution of the Marquis of Montrose, the Marquis of Montrose. The Marquis? The Marquis.
Marquis is correct.
Marquis in Britain.
No, he's not a tent. He was not a tent. And according to all reports, Major Weir was very rude to Montrose before he was executed. Very rude indeed.
Literally adding insult to injury. Then.
Yeah. But the famous thing about Weir up and before 1670 was that he was incredibly religious. He could do, I've written here, I'm going to read it verbatim, he could do really good prayers.
It says that. In a book, he could do really good prayers.
No, I'd written that down thinking that I might sort of rewrite it into better words. He could do really good prayers and he could improvise. He would improvise them with like this beautiful look on his face and he'd lean on his special staff. He earned the nickname Angelic Thomas or the Bowhead Saint.
All right.
Nice.
But in 1670, he fell ill and seemed like he was dying. And he called the Lord Provost. I've only seen that word written down as well. Is that how you say it? Provost?
Provost, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, it's like the mayor.
Yes. And he confessed. He confessed to some crimes to this guy, and the crimes were of such an unspeakable nature. The provost thought he was crazy, and he was not going to arrest him. He just thought these are the ravings of someone who's got fever and he's talking nonsense. But he insisted that he'd done these things, and then Grizzle confessed to being his accomplice.
Uh-oh.
And that they got up to all sorts.
Oh, no.
Sorcery, bestiality, witchcraft, incest.
Incest?
Yeah. The worst one, arguably.
Yeah.
Wow, that is quite the rap sheet.
She said that a devil came in a flaming carriage and drove them to Dalkeith.
I either had not heard that bit or I don't remember it, but that is very funny because I've been to Dalkeith and it is definitely where the devil lives, 100%.
At the time, it had one of Scotland's largest markets and an exceptionally broad high street.
You know what? It's a lovely little... It's near where my parents live, actually. Check it out, guys.
Tell them to look out for incest, because yes, there's a lot of it about.
Oh, boy. Dalkeith.
And the sister said that this stick, the staff, was the source of his power, and that it could do things. It could do things. It could go to the shops for him and answer the door.
Get the messages.
Yeah, it could take in the messages.
It's like an Alexa.
Can I just say that if I signed my name in the book and, you know, sold my soul and I was into all that, and the devil took me to Dalkeith, you'd ask for your money back, wouldn't you?
I think so.
Paris, LA?
Somewhere with a tourist, sort of nightlife.
Dalkeith.
Falkirk.
Edinburgh, you're already in Edinburgh. It doesn't get better than that.
Hey, what about Glasgow? Glasgow's cooler.
Oh, we can't go into that now. We can't go into that. No, kidding.
By the way, I forgot to mention, the guy was so renowned for his piety that one time a woman said she'd seen him committing a crime and she was flogged for obviously lying.
Wow.
Dark.
Wow.
And apparently the terms of that pact with the devil that was, I guess, signed in Dalkeith was that he was promised that his only weakness would be a single burn.
Oh.
A burn as in like a...
I don't know if it was like a, yeah, like a smackdown. He didn't know either because he was once introduced to someone whose name was Burn and he recoiled in horror.
Ooh. Oh, that's a nice sort of fairy tale way of getting, you know, when the devil says, oh, just a burn, but then it's a person and he's got a really big sword. It's very Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Spoiler, he did get burned in the end.
Several of people in chat are suggesting that Big Nose was the unexpected Big Nose.
That was the burn that keeps him away. We have to always, every description mentions that for no reason. So I think maybe that is the way that you keep his ghost away.
I like the way you said he signed for the devil in Dalkeith, as if he was taken there and then still decided to go along with it. I like that a lot.
He was like, well, it can't get worse than this. Jesus Christ, give me the pen.
How wide's this high street? Okay. Bring me the papers. So he was arrested, and whilst he was in the jail, in the toll booth...
So this is where the mile is now, the high street.
Yes.
And the building was in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Next to St Giles, sort of. Yes, it was where prisoners were held. All prisoners, famous ones, normal ones. It was a small city.
Apparently, you spit on it, that
yes.
thing
and
to
you know
keep
what?
Away bad luck.
I always do, partly just because it grosses out tourists, but... The other day, I actually had to stop myself and I was like, oh no, we are in a pandemic. I probably should not do that.
And so he kept confessing to more and more crimes, more and more depraved acts. And the people there were urging him to, like, when he was confessing, to why not pray for repentance? And he would literally scream. And I'm going to have to do my Scottish accent here. And I think I'm the...
Okay.
Of the three of us, I'm the least qualified. The only accent I could do is that of a little old lady as well, so...
I've got my finger on the mute button, Eleanor. I'm ready to cut James out of the stream altogether. Right. Let's see how this goes. James.
Oh, torment me no more. I'm tormented enough already. That's what he'd scream.
Very Morningside.
Mm. He insisted he was guilty, and in the end he was sentenced to be strangled and burnt, which was... the standard practice for witches.
That's how they did it, yeah.
First one, then the other, I should hope. Otherwise, the strangler is in a very tricky situation.
This was at Gallowlee, which is between Edinburgh and Leith.
Okay.
It's a bit near the... You know where the IMAX is and then a bit down?
On Leith Walk.
On Leith Walk. Near one of the vape shops.
Many vape shops.
In between the Harry Potter shops and the vape shops.
And the Harry Potter vape shops. Vaporium smell steamium.
Smell.
I don't know Harry Potter very well. And even up to the last, we refused to pray for forgiveness. Here's another quote. Let me alone. I will not. I've lived as a beast and I must die as a beast.
I will not.
I will not.
Imagine committing incest with that accent. Would you fancy a wee spot of incest later on, if it's not too busy? I have scones.
It's Gene Brody, isn't it? It's Maggie Smith as Professor McGonagall.
Yes, the crimes of Miss Gene Brody. Potter, what are you doing out of bedrooms when we're doing the incest in corridors? Go away with your magic blanket. It's inappropriate.
Did you say earlier that he was on his deathbed?
It was believed he was so ill that they thought he was on his deathbed, but it turned out to be his deathbed, I guess.
Okay, but then he got better and kept saying all this stuff.
Oh, he kept saying it, yes, for some time.
Ugh.
Insisted on it.
He insisted on it.
And they threw his stick into the fire as well, and apparently it gave rare turnings, and they both took quite a long time to burn.
Oh, spooky stick.
It was probably raining, it's Edinburgh.
What about the sister?
And Grizzel was executed on Grassmarket, and just as she was about to be hanged, she tore her clothes off and said, "Oh, shame me to the end."
Shame me to the end, she said.
Yes.
Yeah. And she was how old? Quite old.
He was 70-ish.
Elderly lady.
69, 70. She would have been 60s, probably. Probably younger sister, I'm guessing.
So it's perhaps not quite as sexy a story as it initially sounded.
You know what? I mean, women of a certain age screaming and taking their clothes off in the grass market is still occurs every weekend in Edinburgh. So.
And during the Fringe, anything you can do to get people in, to get people's attention, who can blame people?
Oh, God.
So they both got killed, executed.
Yeah.
But the house was still there. Ooh. On West Bow, and it was haunted AF.
Oh, yeah, it was.
That's the house.
It doesn't look not haunted.
You can see all the bits with where the Harry Potter shops are today. There's one there, there's one there, there's one there.
So when he was arrested, they found bundles of coins wrapped in rags, and a bit of that rag was thrown onto the fire, and it went off like a firework, and it sounded like a cannon had gone off. Which that seems, as someone who only goes to Edinburgh for 1 month a year in August, a cannon seems to go off every night.
Well, every day at one.
Every day at one.
The 1 o'clock gun.
Is that every single day, not just in August? Not just to keep the English on their toes?
every day of the week, all day, all year. And you get used to it. I mean, we've got watches now. We really don't need it. But they still insist on firing this cannon.
I think there's no more annoying category of people than town criers and people who do those hourly or daily announcements that all is well.
Yes.
Just tell me when things are not well.
Yeah.
Don't ring a bell at 1 a.m. to tell me that nothing has happened.
Yeah, sounds like you're trying to hide something.
That's true.
Yeah, it's suspicious to go ding, 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 ding.
Everything is absolutely fine.
Boom, giant cannon, 1 p.m. Everything's normal. What? Do the canon if there's a problem.
But maybe it's sort of saying, like, it's nice to not just have bad news all the time. You don't want to be doom-scrolling through your town crying.
Yeah, tell me about
it. You want to hear something nice, a little uplifting. Maybe they should just describe a cat doing something cute instead.
Ding, 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 ding. Seven times this celebrity was the person we need right now. Ding, ding. Beer Knitter has dropped in a wonderful little mini anecdote. Apparently, I don't know which town this is, but they had two town criers, and the first one didn't want to retire, so he rang his bell whenever the new one was trying to give the news.
That is petty.
Confirming my belief that town criers are just the worst.
Oh, man.
Did he sort of, when the other person did, he's like, ding, 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 hear ye, and then he'd finish saying it, and the other one would go, ding, 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 yeah.
Just like BBC News 24 plus one, just doing the same thing slightly later.
Yes, exactly.
Just to round off the town crier story, the old town crier died. Sorted.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Beer Knitter.
Did the new town crier have to give that news, or was it kind of obvious from the silence?
I assume he died mid ding, 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 ding. Doing what he loved, annoying everyone.
Ding, 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 ding. Does anyone else's left arm feel fizzy? Ding, 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 ding. So in that house, on a few nights before Major Weir made his confession, a passerby saw women at the windows clapping, laughing and shouting, and a woman, twice mortal stature, rose up from the street and headed towards the house. That's a big woman.
Oh my God.
And she was giving off what is described as unmeasurable laughter.
Immeasurable laughter.
Yeah.
That reads like a five.
And she went into an alley, and it was full of laughing people, all with flaming torches, and the witness ran away because she was terrified.
Yeah, I would.
Wow, incredible.
Now, unsurprisingly, Major Weir's house was deserted for 100 years by humans, but his silent shadow was seen lurking around the street on the West Bow, and occasionally it was seen on a headless horse.
Why not?
Riding around. And there'd be lights coming from the house, lights, strange sounds, ooh, dancing, howling, and the sound of spinning of thread. Because Grizzle apparently had been taught how to spin thread magically by a demon or something.
Terrifying.
And in the early hours, you'd hear a coach rattling up and down the street, roaring up and down the street, and people said that it was the devil picking them up from... They just had like a sort of a... like a day trip out from hell to their old house, and then he'd come and get them in the morning.
Atmospheric.
It's nice they got a lift.
Yeah, swing by Dalkeith, sounds great.
Yeah. Go to the big market.
If you know Edinburgh taxis, you'll know they're very expensive, so you'd be very grateful for that.
I can't believe there are taxis. It takes half an hour to walk. Well, it takes an hour to walk everywhere in Edinburgh, but only because the streets are all backwards and connected up wrong.
It's like an M.C. Escher sketch.
It's like the video game Portal.
Well... one of the famous things about this guy's house was that if you were walking up the stairs, it felt like you were walking down the stairs.
What?
What?
That's what lots of people... Yeah, I don't...
Creepy.
There was such a bewitchment on his house that if you walked up the stairs, it felt like you were walking downstairs, and it was very like confusing.
Like the Winchester Mansion or something, kind of built wrong. Mm.
Yes, it ain't right. His ghostly staff would apparently parade around the house... Like if kids were like brave enough to peek in there at night, they'd see a staff.
I don't think a pogoing staff is an intimidating thing. Like, it's not, oh no, oh, it's not a...
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, it's too cute. It's adorable. I'm not afraid of that movement.
There was a little face on the top, though. It might have been...
scowling, probably, yeah.
Looking angry, yeah.
You don't get many ghosts of inanimate objects, do you? That's it's pretty...
We have had... I'm sure we've had a ghostly inanimate object before on the podcast, but this is the second... only the second one.
Yeah, first ghostly staff, certainly.
Yeah.
The chat has just reminded us the last haunted object we had was Mr. Lee's chest. The haunted chest.
Oh, great.
The chest, yes.
But was it...
Thank you very
was
much.
Was it the ghost of a chest?
I think it was an enchanted chest.
I'm being so pedantic, but the stick got burnt.
I think you're right. I think you're onto something there.
Yeah, you're right. It's the first actual ghost of an object.
Mm. Yeah, and that's what I like, being right.
They finally found a tenant for this house after almost 100 years. It was a former soldier, an adventurer, William Petullo and his wife. And they didn't have much money. He'd blown all his soldier money on adventuring, evidently. and they only lived in the house for one night.
Do you mean that they died the next day or that they moved out?
Oh, no. Something weird happened. They went to bed and they lay awake because they knew the reputation, obviously. It had been 100 years and they were a bit scared. And then a weird ethereal light came out and got turned on. I don't know. Probably a dimmer switch, isn't it, for those sort of things. And they were led in bed and through the door of their bedroom, like literally through the door, not like opening it, just came through the door, came a calf with no head.
What?
Wow.
And it came up to the edge of their bed and led its front legs on the end of their bed and stared at them.
Oh,
how can it stare with no head?
Yeah.
Don't say yeah.
I don't know.
I guess that does beg the question, how low would the rent have to be for you to not move out if that happened to you? Because I think I could stick it out.
And the thing is, during the fringe, there are so many worse things that can creep into your room at night.
And stare at you.
Yeah, at least a headless goat's not going to be there scrolling chortle on its phone, complaining.
Oh, it was a headless calf. It was a headless cow, not goat, if that's... I don't know if that's...
Oh, sorry, I don't know my quadrupedal animals.
And then it just wandered off after a bit.
It's creepy.
The building was finally demolished in 1878, and some say part of it is the Quaker Meeting Hall.
I've been there.
And some others say it's probably a Harry Potter shop.
That is inevitable.
And apparently the tapping of his stick is still heard on Grassmarket. Ooh. And Grizzle's fire-blackened face is seen.
Terrifying.
Woo.
Lizzie points out the cows can walk upstairs, but not downstairs. But as James has already established, the stairs work both ways. They've got a sort of escalator system. Marks and Spencer's, where there's an escalator up and then you have to walk down on the stairs out because they want you to stay in Marks and Spencer's for the rest of your life out of laziness. It's not practical. It's not like that.
That's capitalism.
Let's do some scores.
As an Englishman of Scottish heritage, I feel best placed to judge Edinburgh and its denizens. So go ahead. What's your first category?
Supernatural. We're going large.
It's an excessively supernatural story.
Ugh.
Well, you've got a magic pogo stick, staff. You've got Dalkeith.
Oh, the devil's magic.
Yeah, the devil. He's supernatural in himself.
Haunted house.
Big woman.
Oh, you've got a haunted house. A giant woman.
Judging by the average height of Scottish women, one that was twice as tall would have been at least 5'8", so that's very impressive, but really scary.
It's an excessively supernatural story. I'm not going to beat it around the bush. It's a 5 out of 5 for supernatural.
Rightly so.
Nice work.
Okay. Names.
Names.
We got some good ones. We've got the original Major Tom.
What else?
Grizzle.
Grizzle?
Grizzle's a great name. I think that alone deserves many points.
We've got Angelic Thomas. The Bowhead Saint. Hey, we've got my majorly weird joke.
That was very good, yeah.
I might take points away.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many points you think you're getting for that. I think it is a 4 out of 5.
Fair enough.
And
I take that.
I think the reason it's not 5 is that Edinburgh is... every single street is called, like, Tiddlypop Street or Bingle Bang Wind. Like,
I was born on Bingle Bang Wind. That's crazy that you bring that up.
All the tiny 3-foot-tall women scurrying around Bingle Bang Wind, people chucking poo out of the windows. What a town. What a town it is. So it's a 4 out of 5 for names.
Memories. Excellent. Next category, useful magic.
We're going to Dalkeith, you mean?
Yeah, taxi. The sort of original Uber.
It cost you about 30 quid today, so...
Then it was just your soul.
That's pretty pricey.
His stick could go shopping for him.
Yes, that's very useful.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about... Oh, yeah.
And it would answer the door.
Yeah, like a little butler. Yeah. Yeah, and during lockdown, for social distancing reasons, that would be advantageous.
Be perfect.
Exactly. And when he was walking down the street, apparently it would... clear a path for him. I don't know how they didn't notice he was a wrong
one. How did they not notice he was a wizard if he had a magic stick?
That went to the shops.
Maybe they thought he was a performance artist.
I guess that's why he had to confess, because he was getting more and more obvious about it. He had a magic stick going to the shops, running errands for him, and nobody was calling him out until eventually he just had to say, hey, I'm a wizard. I'm a wizard.
And even then they were like, yeah, yeah.
no, really, I am a wizard.
Yeah.
TK2000 says, any magic that results in you ending up in Dalkeith deserves negative points.
Thank you for backing me up on that.
Another Dalkeith slam.
He had the downstairs going up, the upstairs going...
That's magic, yeah. Is that useful, though?
That might be useful.
Wilson Deluxe speaks very much from my heart. He says, this feels like a 3 out of 5 at most. I agree with you, Wilson. A 3 out of 5.
Very good.
So what's the next category?
Final category, bizarre endings. And this is, there's a lot to this. It was a bizarre ending for Major Weir, for his life.
Yeah.
The whole thing is...
There was that cow at the end for no reason.
None of us were expecting a last minute ghost cow with no head. The worst thing about a ghost cow with no head coming through the door is for the first few minutes of it, you don't know it's come through because it hasn't got a head. It's only as the stump emerges that you realise something's up.
Oh.
Yes. Very good point. I fear that actually a headless cow is a bizarre beginning rather than a bizarre end.
But every end is a beginning, and other things that you can say in movie trailers that don't mean anything.
And to me, the whole thing feels like an Edinburgh show where you have that three-quarter way through lag and you need to sort of spice it up. And this just went nuts by talking about sorcery and bestiality and all this, just chucking that all in at the end.
Yeah, by all means, wake people up, but not with incest. I'm going to say it's 5 out of 5 because I actually think it's not. But it would be weirder if I gave it 5 out of 5. Well, I don't actually think you've argued the case that well. So yes. I'm giving it 5 out of 5 because that in itself is a bizarre ending.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you.
How'd you like them apples? An item of food that nobody ever eats during the Edinburgh Fringe. Eleanor, is there anything you would like to plug? Because you are a podcaster and comedian and human in your own right.
I am a human. I am a human being. Yeah, I do a podcast with John Rain and David Reed of the Penny Dreadfuls fame. It's called All Rather Mysterious, and that is just us talking about random mysteries. And my sister and her friend also have a podcast about folklore called Grave Histories, which is not as comedy as you guys because they're both nerdy academics, but if you like a very thorough look into that, I recommend that for heavy research.
I don't know if our listeners are going to have any tolerance for nerds. There's quite a lot of jocks in our fan base. A lot of jocks in the stream chat.
I know,
at the moment.
It's a lot of alpha males, isn't it? It's a lot of chads.
Burly, burly people.
Yeah. They'd only download that podcast to kick sand in its face.
Thank you very much to everyone for joining
Thank
us.
You.
It's been really fun.
Yeah, thanks.
We don't actually have a sign-off, so I'm going to go with stay cool, everyone. Does that sound all right?
Oh, yeah. Law boys never say die.
Oh, we'll just end with law boys, shall we? Boom, boom. Law boys.
Hooray.
Okay. You have been listening to Lawmen with me, Alistair Beckett-King.
And me, James Shakeshaft.
If you've enjoyed any of the content we have been shoveling in your direction during these trying times, you can say thank you by going to ko-fi.com/lawmen. And giving us a little bit of your hard-earned.
It's just numbers.
It's not really real, is it, if you can't see the coins?
It's just numbers. So you can write the biggest number. And stay tuned when the music stops for a horror story, where horror means horrible.
Yeah, it is a really horrible story.
It is grim. Can I tell you about something horrific that happened to me the other day?
Yeah.
That happened to my house the other day.
Yes, please.
It's terrifying. So it was just after the hot bit. You know, we had that hot bit.
Oh, we did.
And then it got a bit wet for a bit, and then it was hot and wet for a bit.
Not as fun as it sounds.
Oh, God, no. My wife and I stayed up late, had a bit of a booze, as you do in the lockdown times, and went to go to bed, and on the back of our house, we've got like French doors, and they were covered with maggots.
Oh, what?
Yeah, crawling all up.
How can a door be covered with like vertically?
Yeah, like all the glass all the way up. They can climb, it seems.
What?
Yeah, they can climb because they were all the way up the door.
Oh my God.
And it was like a lot. These are like door-sized doors, standard door size, you could say.
Okay, I'm picturing it, yeah.
I was imagining a little tiny door that an elf might use, but now I realise it was a human-sized door-sized door.
Human-sized door. Muggers. And they were all up the outside, and you could see them undulating up the window. And I was horrified and sickened, and then I realised quite a few of those maggots were on the inside of the window.
How?
They're coming through the glass.
What, through the glass? How can...
The maggots are coming from inside the house.
I'd lock myself in with the maggots.
And did you find out what happened? Like, why?
Well, we have a baby that does poos.
You got one of those ones. Bad luck.
Yeah. We thought it was just a phase, and then it was past the warranty, so we had to keep it. So we put those, you know, that's collected in a nappy. That nappy's wrapped up, sometimes put in a bag. But sometimes if you're in a rush, I mean, the pooey ones are almost always in a bag. Hoid in the bin. We also have a cat that sometimes kills mice.
Oh.
And I've been putting them in the bin.
And then you smear the bin on your window.
Yeah. Doesn't everyone? By bin, I mean window. Exterior of house.
Emily O'Shea in the comments of Emily O'Shea mentioned earlier in the podcast fame says, this is rivaling the dog vomit story. So, James.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Well done.
It was a horrible experience.
That is as good as one of your classic poo-based stories.